Hey guys, welcome to the Rose Quinn Podcast. This episode we have Sydney Bishop as our special guest. She is a author tube, writer, everything extraordinaire. She was a blast to talk to, and she gives some good insights into her writing process and her YouTube channel and everything she has to offer. But before we get to Sydney, like usual, I want to talk to you guys about some of my favorite books that I read recently. One of them, I have two this episode. One of them was The Weight of Lies by Emily Carpenter. This is a book that I found on Kindle Unlimited. It was just recommended to me, and I have so many ARCs that I need to read, but I stopped and I was like, this looks really good. I need to take a break and read something that I'm not, you know, reviewing for somebody necessarily, and boy am I glad I did. It's a really great mystery. It's got a really great mystery at the center. Like a lot of books that I read, I feel like sometimes I say the same things, but they're so good. This one definitely broke the mold for me and is really great. So let me read the blurb for you. Reformed party girl Meg Ashley leads a life of privilege thanks to a best-selling horror novel her mother wrote decades ago. But Meg knows that the glow of their very public life hides a darker reality of lies, manipulation, and the heartbreak of her own solitary childhood. Desperate to break free of her mother, Meg accepts a proposal to write a scandalous tell-all memoir. Digging into the past and her mother's cult classic draws Meg to Bonny Island, Georgia, and an unusual woman said to be the inspiration for the book. At first, island life seems idyllic, but as Meg starts to ask tough questions, disturbing revelations come to light, including some about her mother. Soon, Meg's search leads her to question the facts of a decades-old murder. She's warned to leave it alone, but as the lies pile up, Meg knows she's getting close to finding a murderer. When her own life is threatened, Meg realizes the darkness found in her mother's book is nothing compared to the chilling truth that lurks off the page. This was the kind of book where the author does a really great job about misleading you about what's really going on. And at the end, I was like, my jaw dropped. I was surprised at the unveiling of everything. So definitely worth the read. Really well done. It's got a little dash of romance, lots of mystery, super creepiness. I think it's definitely one that you're going to enjoy. And like I said, it's on Kindle Unlimited, which is great for all of us who read too many books. The next one I want to talk about, the next book, is by one of my favorite authors, and it's Lock Every Door by Riley Sager. I could be saying his name wrong. Sager, you know me, and I'm terrible at pronouncing things. But this is his third book, and his first book was Final Girls, which I'm pretty sure I've reviewed on this podcast in one of my earlier episodes, but that book blew me away. And his second book blew me away. And this one did as well. He just really knows how to weave these crazy stories together and just have them blow your mind. So, I've posted about Lock Every Door on my Instagram, and it comes out July 2nd, which is in just a couple days, so make sure you get this book. Pre-order it right now so it shows up on July 2nd, and buy his other books too because they're so good. Okay, this is the blurb for Lock Every Door. No visitors, no nights spent away from the apartment, no disturbing the other residents, all of whom are rich or famous or both. These are the only rules for Jules Larson's new job as an apartment sitter at the Bartholomew, one of Manhattan's most high-profile and mysterious buildings. Recently heartbroken and just plain broke, Jules is taken in by the splendor of her surroundings and accepts the terms, ready to leave her past life behind. As she gets to know the residents and staff of the Bartholomew, Jules finds herself drawn to fellow apartment sitter Ingrid, who comfortingly reminds her of the sister she lost 8 years ago. When Ingrid confides that the Bartholomew is not what it seems and the dark history hidden beneath its gleaming facade is starting to frighten her, Jules brushes it off as a harmless ghost story until the next day, when Ingrid disappears. Searching for the truth about Ingrid's disappearance, Jules digs deeper into the Bartholomew's sordid past and into the secrets kept within its walls. What she discovers pits Jules against the clock as she races to unmask a killer, expose the building's hidden past, and escape the Bartholomew before her temporary status becomes permanent. I don't want to say anything about it because I want you to just experience the craziness that is reading one of Riley's books, but it's hands down amazing, and all of his books are, so I highly recommend that one. All right, we've got our interview with Sydney coming up in just a couple minutes, but first I just want to touch base with you guys. I know I said a couple episodes I'd have some writing stuff for you in an episode, but I'm still adjusting to like working full time, having kids, trying to write, doing all this stuff, and being extremely exhausted from it all. I did just finish line edits on my work in progress When Jay Bird Went Missing. I'm going to make some few minor adjustments that I think will really help the story, help the characters a little bit. So I'm excited about that. And I'm working on my query for it right now, which if you listened to my interview with Chris last time, I liked his idea of, you know, how he writes the query before he's, or as he's in the process, or when he gets stuck or whatever. That's helpful. And as I've written the query, that's kind of helped me think of some things I need to change and add, just so that it is a little bit more together, but intriguing too. So that's exciting. Querying is the worst though, but you know, you see all those people who get their agents and you're like, oh, it's possible. But you know me, I'm very impatient. So that's sort of like the struggle for me. I don't want to start that process and then have it just trigger my impatience over and over and over again. But I will be looking, I think I'm going to, I've written my query, but I want to do a small round of beta reading on this novel. I've had some of my close writer friends read the beginning of it, but nobody has read the whole thing. So if you want to beta read my YA mystery novel about a girl, a small town, small beach town where girls keep going missing. Super fun. It actually is. You know, there's lightness to it, but you know me, I like the murder, the crime. So if you want a beta read for me, hit me up. Send me an email, rose@rosequinco.com. But that's all about me right now. We're going to get to Sydney. Sydney Bishop is an aspiring author, which is who I started interviewing when I started this podcast, before I was able to be lucky enough to connect with all of the amazing authors that I have. So I loved this interview with Sydney. It felt kind of like going back to my roots. Some of my first interviews were with just other aspiring authors who I found on Twitter who are going through the same thing I am. So it was cool to talk to her, and you can follow her at Sydney Bishop, and Sydney is spelled S-I-D-N-I-E, and then Bishop, like you would normally spell it. She also is on YouTube. She's on the AuthorTube and has some great videos, so I definitely recommend. It's under the same name. Her website did as well. So connect with her. Talk to her. Be her friend. She's amazing. But yeah, let's get to know Sydney a little bit more. Let's start off, Sydney, by you telling us about your fantasy series that you're working on.
Okay. I'm really bad at describing these things.
I struggle with that as well. We should be good at it, right? But
yeah, right? We should, but it's different.
Yeah.
So I wrote down some notes.
Perfect.
So I'm just going to kind of go off of that. So Project Burn is about a girl who finds an entrance to a new world. And the world is actually where she originally came from.
Ooh.
And she, when she returns, she's thrust back into a life of royalty, where she learns that she's the long-lost princess of the kingdom. And she also discovers the truth of her past that's been haunting her for her whole life. But now her kingdom is torn into two, and she has to choose where her true loyalties lie. It's kind of good versus evil. There's lots of dark magic. Two handsome princes and dragons.
Ooh, I love the two handsome princes. Is there a love triangle?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's awesome. So, I mean, how did this idea come to you? Is this, like, tell us a little bit of your background of writing. Have you, you know, written a lot of different things, or was this, like, your first attempt?
This is technically like my second novel-ish going about. I just started writing back in like 2017.
That's awesome.
And I put my first story on the back burner because it's a lot of work and I'm not the writer that it needs yet.
First stories usually are that way.
And it breaks my heart because it's like the story you want to tell first,
Yeah.
because it's what starts you on everything. But there's just a lot of holes and gaps that I'm not ready to fill out yet.
Well, that's awesome. But that sounds like a really awesome. And is it a series, like a three part that you're working on?
I'm not sure. Right now, I want it to be three, but as I'm sitting, it's kind of more like a duology.
Cool.
But then when this one ends, I have it picking up with another storyline through it. So that one might end up being a couple more. I don't know yet. That might just be a standalone. I have no clue where I'm going with this story.
That's awesome. I love it though. That's kind of the fun of it. You get to figure it out. Like, that's the beautiful thing about writing. This world you've created, you can thread different stories and tell a bunch of different character stories through it, which I think is cool. I noticed in one of your posts, I love the book you made for yourself. Is that this project or a different one?
That was my first
Your
book.
first one? I think that's so great though. It's so cool to like hold that in your hand.
Yes, I just posted a YouTube video about that book today.
Oh, I love it. But tell us, so I noticed in one of your posts that you're planning, or I think maybe I saw it on your website, I can't remember, but that you're planning on posting this, or not posting, publishing this series in like 2020. Are you planning on self-publishing?
I didn't know I had it for 2020.
Trying
I'd
to remember.
like to say it, but I don't know if I'll be that ready for it. But I'm not sure what I want to do yet. There's perks for both of them,
For
but
sure.
right now I'm sitting towards traditionally publishing. But in a couple months, I might be like, oh, I'll just self-publish.
Yeah, there is definitely pros to both, and I've seen, great stories for both, and people who have really taken self-publishing and made this amazing thing of it, or it was kind of ended up being a stepping stone where they self-published and then did really well on their own and got the rest of their books traditionally published. It's always a hard decision. I struggle with that one
Right.
myself too. I'm like, should I self-publish? Like, I'm very impatient. I'm a very impatient person.
Exactly. That's where I'm sitting. I'm like, I don't know if I can wait for somebody to pick up this book.
Exactly. And I think part of me too, like one of my finished books I queried for a while and didn't get any bites back, and I was like, I'm just gonna self-publish. But then I was like, wait, no, I need to be patient. Like, there's people who don't get published till they're in their 40s or 50s. Like, I'm trying to force myself to have a little bit more patience with it.
Right. I'm always thinking, like, if I try too traditional, I'll give it a year and then I'll self-publish.
Yeah,
But I don't know if I have enough patience to wait a year either.
I know that's a really long time. It's not really that long, like in the grand scheme of things, but it feels really long. And querying is a lot of work too. So to be
Yeah, that
doing,
scares me.
yeah. So to be doing only querying for a year, you would want to be, obviously working on other stuff, but that seems
Yeah.
like a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see more about that series and see what happens with it. I wanted to talk and see if you could just tell us a little bit. I know I've never done it, but I know the whole author tube is like a big thing. How long have you had your YouTube channel?
A little over a year,
That's
but I have
awesome.
not been consistent with it at all.
Well, it's hard. Life has so much going on.
Right, and then I have two kids, so that
Yes.
always comes first, and editing and posting and getting it all done, it's a lot of work.
For sure. What motivated you to start that?
Pretty much just like the whole author platform
Yeah.
thing that if you're going to self-publish, you need that pretty much.
And there's people who
And
are super successful, like I might say your last name wrong because I always pronounce things wrong, but Jenna
Marcy.
Maritzi, yeah, she's done really well with that.
Right. And so that's kind of where I was at. And like with her, she didn't like blogging either. And that's kind of where I'm at. Like my website is a hot mess. And blogging, I like to write, but I don't like to blog.
Yeah.
And videos have been an easier way to do that.
That's awesome. I can definitely understand the editing and all of that is a lot of work. These podcast episodes for a while there, I like fell into this weird rhythm of doing one like every 2 months because of kids and life and all of that. It's a lot of work to edit these, to write, to be a normal human being.
Right.
Well, that's awesome. I'm excited. I'll have to go watch the one you just posted. But let's talk about writing now a little bit. So I have a 2-part question for you. What is the hardest part of writing? And then in your experience so far as an author, what's the hardest part that you have experienced or that you could see experiencing?
So far, I'm the type of person that has to outline. I've tried to pants my way through it, and it doesn't work. But outlining takes me forever.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been one of, like, the hardest things I've been struggling with is getting all the scenes down because there's too many gaps and all that. So outlining has been a problem, and then just staying motivated to keep writing.
Oh, yeah, that's always a struggle. I mean, I outlined my first book pretty heavily, and I felt like, I don't know, I'm a total pantser, so I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, I outline and do, like, rough outlines, like, after I've written the book to, like, see the holes. Like, I do a chapter by chapter kind of, like, summary and then see where I need to fill in. But outlining is hard and takes so much time. And then I sort of felt like I was like, oh, I already wrote the whole story. I don't have energy to actually write it now.
Right. I need to see where it's going and like where it goes, what goes where.
That's true. And that's smart. I think, you know, the people who do that, you save yourself a lot of editing time because you've put it all together already.
Yep.
Have you had any experience with like sharing your writing online or beta reading or anything yet?
No, I haven't gone through those processes. I've had a CP. And that was hard to send to her because my stuff was a hot mess. And it's nerve-wracking sending it to other people because you spend so much time working on it. And then they could just hate it. And it could be absolute trash.
Right? And then you're like, but this is my little book, baby. You have to love it. I definitely know that struggle. I've had a few of my close writer friends beta for me, and even them, like, knowing that they would not think any less of me and they would be honest in, like, a constructive way and not just be mean. It was still so nerve-wracking to send my novel to them.
Right.
But at least you have people who is a CP, like, another writer, somebody who understands it all?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So at least they can know the time and effort you put into it.
Right. Because you exchange your work and you guys do the same thing for each other.
Yes.
So it really helped with my first book. I had a lot of insta love and she pointed all that out. And so I've been trying to fix it, but it's still hard because like want to put that romance in there, but like I hate slow burns, even though I like to read them, but I hate to read them. It's love hate.
Yes.
I want all the love now.
Right. I will say I definitely agree with you. There's some insta, like you have to make the insta love believable. I can't remember what series it was that I read. It's a YA series, and I read it a long time ago, but it was a kind of insta-love that was, it was not okay. And you were like, this is weird. Like, you guys met each other 5 minutes ago, and you're already
I'm currently reading a book that's like that, and I'm like, ugh, do I want to finish this series? I want to know what happens, but at the same time, I could read other books.
Exactly. So you need, like, a good middle in between insta-love and slow burn.
Right, because in another series I was reading, it didn't get to, like, the love stuff until, like, book 3. I'm like, oh, I'm so over this, but I want to know what happens.
Right? It's an endless struggle.
Yes.
Well, on the flip side, what's the best part of being a writer for you?
I like that I can write from any perspective. Because when I was little, I wanted to be an actress, even though I don't like public speaking, and I've never taken an acting thing, I've never been in a play, but I always had in my mind that that's what I wanted to do, because you can play all these different characters. And as a writer, I'm able to do that. I could write a book from a doctor's point of view, or firefighter, or anything, really, a princess.
Yeah. That is the best part. And how has the world building worked for your series? Like, have you had to, especially with the magic stuff, that always intrigues me, because I don't really do fantasy. I love reading fantasy, but I don't write it. But I always love to know, like, your secrets to world building. Do you actually, like, write everything down and connect it and make sure it all works, like the magic and all the different realms and all that?
I try to.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. I prefer fantasy and the magic, and world building is like one of my favorite things.
I bet.
I love making the maps, and I like the magic stuff of all of it. So just, because my first series had a lot of magic in it because it's about witches, and then this one's going to have a lot of dark magic, and so it's going to be, it's hard to keep them together, like which went to which
right.
story.
Which magic so, yeah, is which?
And I have a map that helps me with locations and all this stuff, and Pinterest is wonderful for world building.
Oh, yeah. Did you, like, hand draw your map?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. That was always, like, my favorite part of fantasy books is, like, the map that's in the beginning, you know, like, in the spot, right. in the big, you know, whatever that's called, the first page. Oh, I always loved those. So, they were so cool.
Especially as they have, like, lots of places they're naming. Yeah. And all these places they're traveling. I'm like, dude, I thought that was, like, 5 minutes away.
Right, like, where are they? Oh my gosh, that is awesome. That's probably, like, the best part about being a fantasy author. I love fantasy, and I could read it all day long, but I don't know, I feel like I get lost in those details sometimes. Because I'm not a good outliner. That's really what it comes down to. And so I feel like you have to have those good outlining skills to be able to do that and string all that together.
Right. Series Bibles help a lot.
Yes, I can. I do crime fiction, so I have a lot of notes about, like, the clues and different timelines and all of that. So it's sort of in that way, but I really love crime fiction and murder, which is a weird thing to admit to people. But, you know, I think maybe it's just the passion behind it that makes it a little easier.
Right.
Well, that's...
See, like, I like watching that stuff, but I don't know if I could ever write it.
Yeah. See, it's perfect. I'll read your books, and you'll read my books.
Awesome.
So tell us, so you said you started writing in 2017. What prompted that? Tell us about your love of writing and how this all got started.
Well, when I was younger, I did write a couple stories, but that was during the Twilight thing when that first came out. So everybody, like, wrote fan fiction and all that.
For sure,
so I
did that.
I had my own version of it. I didn't know what fan fiction was then. So now I know that's what I was writing. But I had renamed all the characters to their own original thing. But it was pretty much Twilight meets True Blood meets Vampire Diaries.
I love it.
And there was so much going on, and I don't even know what ended up happening to that story. But so I'm a stay-at-home mom, and it's hard doing that. You get bored, and so I'd always had this, like, Harry Potter fan fiction in my head, so I turned it into its own version of a story, and that's where my first book came from.
I love it.
And then from there, I've just, plot bunny after plot bunny just keeps popping up, and I have, like, 12 different stories I want to write now.
That's the best. I have a folder in my Google Drive of, where I put all my writing stuff, and then I have all these folders of, like, ideas, next novel ideas, and it's, like, 20 items right. deep, you know, and it's like, I'm never gonna get to write all these things, but they're like the one-liners that come to you in the middle of the night that you have to write down.
Yes.
I think that's awesome. I love that, you know, it came to you in a time you needed, basically just like fill your time, but you ended up finding something you love and a creative outlet. Did you do a lot of, I guess, reading and like self-learning on it?
I have been since I decided to start writing. I have a whole shelf of craft books, but I've always been, like, on the creative side. I grew up reading, and then when I got into high school, I kind of stopped reading because it wasn't the cool thing to do anymore.
What?
Yeah, I was trying to fit in, and so I quit reading pretty much, and then a few years ago, I started reading again, and it's just picked up from there.
I love it. I was definitely the kid in school who would sit in the hallway and just read a book by myself. Like, I didn't care if it was cool or not. I've been addicted to reading since I could read.
Right.
Yeah.
I struggled with reading as a kid, especially, like, reading out loud and pretty much public speaking.
Yeah.
And I still struggle with it, so I think it took a little bit longer for me to build up a love for reading.
But you're here.
Because it just, right.
Doesn't matter how long it takes you, right?
Yep.
I love it. Well, that's awesome. I think, you know, writing and reading are something that are so intertwined. I think I always say that to be a writer, you have to be a reader too. Because it's kind of like doing your homework. Like, you need to read stuff that's in your genre, stuff that's outside your genre. Just, it's a good way to learn and see another person's craft without really, like, studying it. Like, I read a lot, but I don't, like, notate books or anything like that. I try to really, like, not focus on the craft of it, because that takes it away from...
See, I annotate my books when I read them, but most of the time I'm highlighting and making notes of all the stuff I love.
Yeah.
And then, like, world-building stuff, I'll make notes on it, and character-building, but, like, I don't, like, sit out and say, oh, well, this is the climax or something like that, but, like, my books are so highlighted and written in that people would probably, like, cringe if they saw my bookshelf.
And I think that's what it is. I've just never been the kind of person to write in a book, and I feel like I would be sad if I did. But a lot of them, too, like a lot of the ARCs that I get, the advanced copies, are Kindle. So I could highlight those because it's virtual, right?
Yeah, and see, when I read ebooks, I don't really make notes of them because I'm never going to come back to them, probably.
Right.
I like having the physical copy of it.
I do, too. I go back and forth because I read so many books that it's like I can't possibly buy all of them. So I need to have...
I've been doing a lot of that.
Yeah, I need to have some virtual, so I do the Kindle Unlimited, which is awesome. That's what I love about this. I love talking to other writers because we're all so different. You're like a hardcore outliner, and I'm totally not, but we still understand what we go through when we sit at that page and are like, oh crap, I don't think I can write today, or I don't think I'm gonna get this.
You see that blank page and you just go blank with it.
Yes.
Or like, even, what was I doing?
Right. Or sometimes
I've been spending months getting this ready and now I'm just like, I can't even put one word down.
Exactly. Or sometimes I look at my like chapter that I'm editing and I'm just like, I hate all of this. I can't look at it right now, you know? But then other days you're like so motivated and you get so much done. It's really, it's something that it's hard, I think, for people who aren't writers, who don't have the love of it, to understand. So I love that we have such a great community where we build these connections, because it makes us feel a little less alone in our little tiny worlds.
Right. And before I started writing, I thought it was going to be easy. And it's so not.
No.
It's the opposite. Yeah. And plus 10.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's like the hardest thing I've ever done.
It is. And I think the hardest part for me is probably, I really struggle with like the imposter syndrome of it all.
Yes.
I struggle to know if what I'm writing is actually good. Like, I'm like, is this crap? Like, am I wasting all my time doing this? You know, because like the story that I did for Nano, like, a couple years ago, is a dystopian world. It's about the it takes place in when the zombie apocalypse has happened, right? I always say it's it's not a zombie story, but it's a story about people in a zombie world. But I got, you know, like feedback from some agent who was like, zombies are done. Nobody's ever going to buy this book. Like, get over it, basically, was the gist of her email. I'm just like, that's so sad. People love zombies, you know? But then that sends you down this spiral where you're like, okay, this is crap. I should just delete it all, you know? That's the hardest part for me.
And that's the thing with traditional publishing is, like, everything comes in waves.
Right.
And then it's out. Like, the vampires, it was the biggest thing, and now it's kind of out again. And then it just, and then fairies and zombies, dystopian.
Yeah.
But with self-publishing, you can pretty much just do whatever you want.
Exactly. But then you have to market it yourself.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff, which, like, I have two kids and I work a day job, so I'm like, I would have to get to the point where that's all I did, you know, because that's a lot of work.
Right.
But I think that writing has so many different wonderful and very, very difficult parts about it, but at least we can be here for each other too.
Right. We're not struggling alone.
Yes.
We're not in misery by ourselves.
No, we're in misery together. So I have another question. So in your revision process, have you gone through that process with either your Witch series or the one you're working on right now?
The Witch one I have. I'm on draft 2, but I've only wrote half of it. So I've edited the first draft, and then I've started working on the second draft.
That's awesome. And what does that revision process look like for you? Like, what do you focus on right off the bat?
I try just to read through it and see if it sounds good, because I feel like my writing is... I write, like, how I talk, and you're not supposed to do that, apparently. So it's very wordy and choppy, and it doesn't flow very well. And then, like, info drops. I kind of look for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I put a lot of place fillers in there, like, put magic spell here, or write in history here. So I have to go through that and mark all that up and be like, focus on this, do this, move this here. I try not to do line edits, but I always end up doing it, because it's just how my brain works. Like, right. If I see a typo, I gotta fix it.
For sure. I mean, that's hard. If you see a sentence that you're like, that doesn't make any sense, you need to fix it, because what if you forget it the next time?
Right, and then when I rewrite it, I write it all from scratch anyway. I'm like, that typo's not even gonna be there next time anyway, so why do I nitpick this?
So do you, like, look at your old one, and then you completely rewrite it, like, based on what you've written before?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't work in my same document.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I've never done that before.
I thought that's how pretty much everybody did it.
No, I've never done it before. I was just working the same document. But I will say it does get messy sometimes, because then I'll, like, add new chapters, and then the storyline kind of goes a different way, and then you got to remember what you got to change. So I feel like your way might be a little
simpler. Little bit.
Yeah.
Because then I always leave off where I need to start, and I don't have to go try and find where I was last at, and this is how my brain works.
I love it. No, see, this
is... And then I have a problem with show versus tell. I tell a lot, and I don't show a lot, so that's... I try and start over, and then I try to make it a little bit more telly, add in weather, colors, five senses, pretty much.
I love it. Revision is hard. I feel like I struggle with sometimes revising too much. Like... the story ends up kind of being something way different than it was meant to be. And that's hard to, like, stop yourself and be like, no, okay, no more editing.
Right.
Well, that is awesome. So, Sydney, my last question is the easiest one, I promise. It's just one I love to ask everybody, because I love to read and I love to know what you are reading. So, what is your favorite book right now? This is not your favorite book of all time, because who could ever answer that question? This could be multiple books too, if you can't make up your mind, but just a book you read recently that you really loved.
What have I read recently? I've been reading a lot of Kindle Unlimited books, and so, like, they haven't been my favorites.
But yeah, sometimes they're touch and go.
Right, like, some of those books, there's like 10 in a series, and you could have pretty much put them all in one.
Yeah,
three books.
Yeah Or some, like, I can't remember what, it's, like, this awesome crime fiction series, but it went on too long. And, like, somebody, a main character died that I feel like totally ruined the series. And I'm like, you should have stopped it after book, like, 6 and not gone on to book 9.
Right.
It's a struggle.
I'm trying to think of all the books I've read lately.
That's good that you've read so many. Can't even think.
Been trying to read more this year. My goal last year was 50, and I, not 50, it was 30, and I got to 42.
That's awesome.
And this year, I have it set at 50, and I'm, like, 5 books away from it, so I've been reading a lot.
That's great. I love it.
I read that, it hasn't been way recently, but one that I can think of is that Save the Cat Writes a Novel.
Oh, I feel like I've seen you post that.
Yes, I, like, devoured that book. It's all written in, and people would probably cringe at all the highlighting.
Well, tell us about it. Is it a craft book?
Yes. So there's the Save the Cat series, which I want to say, I might say the wrong author. That's the one. I want to say Blake Snyder, but I could be wrong.
Google
that
it.
One's for screenwriting.
Okay.
And then so Jessica Brody wrote one for novels. Like, she worked with the people that wrote the first one.
Yeah.
I believe. Don't quote me on that. But it pretty much, it goes over the beat sheet, the 15 beats of a storyline.
Cool.
And it's been nice to learn that way.
Yeah, I love that.
The each beats and the conflict, the motivation, and all that.
I think there's so many good craft books and different things that tell you about parts of the story. Like, I always, you know, I think what they teach you in school and is that there's three parts to a story. Of course, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And the beginning's this, like, a little part, and the end's a little part, and then the middle is just all the gobbledygook. And I went to a writing conference and heard about the setup, response, action, resolution, which is like the four-part series, or the four-part. Mm-hmm. And that helped me, like, just by adding in one more section, you know, it breaks it up in a way that you're like, oh, okay, this makes it seem a little bit more doable to have, you know, not just a huge middle where you're like, what do I do in here? So that's awesome. Right. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, she breaks it down by the three-act structure, and then these 15 beats fit in there, so there's like four or five beats in the beginning.
That's awesome.
A few more in the middle, and then at the end, and then she goes into each beat. Some of them are just one scene, or they're broken up into multiple scenes per beat. It was just, it's cool to see it that way.
Yeah, does she use, like, example, like, you know, give you examples from other novels and stuff?
Yes, actually, she has, like, a whole section where she's broken down certain novels based off of, like, the 10 most, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, the certain different categories of books, not, like, genre, but, like, superhero, or hero books, superhero, and then, like, buddy love and all this stuff.
Cool.
So she's broken down, like, a book from each of those categories.
I love that. I think that's cool. Like, in this conference that I went to when I was, they were teaching about that method, they were like, you know, this first plot point is supposed to happen 25% of the way through or whatever, and... like, it's
would she be on that in there too.
Yeah, it would be on this page, and then they're like, and in, you know, like the Hunger Games or whatever, for example, it was on the page it was supposed to be. I'm like, that's crazy. Right.
So it's nice to see that, and actually, like, if you've read one of the books that she writes up, then you know what she's talking about, right. And it's nice to see it.
That's awesome. Well, cool. We'll have to make sure. I'll have to make sure to check that one out. Well, Sydney, thank you so much for chatting with me for the podcast. I'm so honored to get to know you and have another writer friend. And we're, you know, and I'm excited to see your journey and how everything turns out with your book.
Well, thanks for having me.